by this. Okay. So now comes the question: how does this affect geometry? Clearly, something wacky is going to happen with the geometry. So let's look at that a little bit. Yep.
How come
what?
How can the R not be affected? The outside is expanding.
Because like if it gets bigger, doesn't it like have to actually get bigger? How does this work? Yeah. It doesn't even make
Well, the R is unaffected because so when we're doing length contraction, suppose I have an object like this, like this box here. Okay? And this box is moving in this direction like this. Okay? So it has no motion in that direction or that direction. So I won't see any length contraction in that direction or that direction. Like if I'm looking at this box coming at me like this, I will take my ruler out and I'll measure, yes, that's still 7 centimeters and that's still 5 centimeters. Okay, the only component of this box that's length contracted is the component in the direction of motion. So I'll see this box as the same surface area here, the same shape here. It'll just get like thin this way because it's moving that way. Okay, so for the bobs in this situation, it's only the dimension of the bobs. So if that's a bob, well let's draw it a bit bigger. So if this is a top view of a bob, there's his head, and those are his shoulders. Okay, then what we will see is a contraction because the relative motion is this way to the right. What we'll see is a contraction along that axis. And so what Alice will see is a no contraction along this axis. Okay, so what Alice will see is a bob that has the same depth. So she will see that kind of a bob. So his face will be really like thin.
I know. Another question.
Yeah.
Why don't the actual walls contract in the direction of motion? Like the actual wall is moving faster, so shouldn't it also contract?
But the walls couldn't contract because. So I mean, what we have outside here is still 100 Alice's. It's still 100 meters outside here. So the walls for the walls to contract, it would mean that the entire space station would become smaller. Would move inwards like this.
Because like every. Like, because you know how like the motion would be like tangential to the circle, so would like each section of the wall compress maybe? Like, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, I mean one way to think about this is See, the problem is suppose that each one of these sections, as you're saying, were to compress, okay? Then what that would mean is the Alice's say, okay, so these sections, when it's not rotating, are 1 meter. And then when the space station starts rotating, then these sections compress like this. And if that's going to happen, then the entire space station has to become smaller. So actually, this was this is a very good question. And this was raised by Ehrenfest. It's called Ehrenfest's paradox. And so he had a real problem similar to that, okay? And yeah, I'm not sure. So that's not helping, is it? maybe think about it this way. Let's look at those atoms again. Okay, so what we've got is a whole bunch of atoms, a million atoms. Strung around in a big string like that. So we have this million atoms which are stretching over 100 meters like this. And what we need is these 100 atoms, we're not changing the number of atoms. We still have a million atoms going around, whether it's rotating or not, right? So now what we're saying is these million atoms here, there still has to be a million atoms. However, each atom needs to be contracted. It's like each one of these guys needs to be contracted. Okay. So I guess maybe here's a way to say it. Yes, okay, so it is true that So we've got these 1 meter sized panels like this. Okay, now this thing starts rotating. And so yes, these 1 meter panels, if you want them to maintain their same size, so to speak, to not be stretched, then yes, these 1 meter panels should all shrink. And so what happens is gaps form like this. Okay? And then in order to keep the spaceship whole, you have to weld in new pieces of metal. Okay? And then so what that's saying is that the actual distance is increasing. Maybe that's the way to say that. Okay, yes.
Well, mine has to do that. So yeah, one, if you did fill those gaps with new pieces of metal you weld in, those, like, when it slows down again, what's gonna happen to that? Overall,
exactly. So what's going to happen is the thing is just going to, you're going to try to force more atoms into a space that they can't fit in. It's just going to buckle out. So in the same way that this water, right, you started with 1,000 buckets of water in here, spinning this, then you start spinning this thing up, more space appears, you put in 2,000 buckets. You've got 1,000 extra buckets in there. If you suddenly bring the water on the space station to rest, then those extra 1,000 buckets just explode the space station. So you have to build this thing out of flexible material. Okay? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the geometry. Okay. Okay, so the geometry is something like this. In the co-rotating space, the circumference of a circle of radius r is, if it's not rotating, it's just 2 pi r. What if it's rotating? By what factor does it increase? What factor do you think? What's the length contraction factor?
Square root of 1 minus b squared.
Right. OK, so it's going to be 2 pi r divided by the square root of 1 minus v squared over c squared. But v we know is omega r. So that's omega squared r squared over c squared. Okay, so the circumference is 2 pi r with this correction factor. And this correction factor gets bigger and bigger as the rotation rate increases, or as your radius increases. Okay, so what that's saying is something like this. Imagine that, so now we're talking about a little platform that sits in the middle here, and the bobs are standing on that platform. The platform and the bobs are all rotating. This is a rotating space relative to the outside. Okay, so in that rotating space, in that co-rotating space, the bobs have meter sticks and they're drawing triangles and trying to make straight lines and so on. They're trying to do geometry on the floor here. Okay, so they're gonna be drawing triangles and stuff. Okay, so if this space station is not rotating, the space is flat. Okay, and what we know about a flat space is if we draw a circle like this, then we know that there's a relationship between the circumference of the circle and the radius. And that's just circumference is 2 pi r. Okay? We also know stuff about the geometry. If we draw any triangle in that surface, what is the sum of the interior angles? 180, or pi. Okay? So now let's look at the situation. Let's look at different kinds of geometry. Here's a different kind of geometry. We're going to consider two different kinds of geometry. Okay, one kind of geometry is instead of a flat surface, let's have a surface that is the surface of a sphere is a good example. Okay, so just need some room here. Okay, so suppose that, how did we draw this circle to begin with? We started at one point like this. One way to do it is we start at the center. We pick a point. We move radially outwards some distance, 10 meters. And then we put a little mark on the ground. Then we start at the center again, pick a different direction, move outwards 10 meters, stick a mark on the ground, and so on. Okay, and then we connect the dots. That's our circle. We're going to do the same thing on the surface of this sphere. We're starting at the North Pole. We're going to walk in a straight line, say 10 kilometers, put a mark on the ground, walk in a straight line 10 kilometers, put a mark in the ground, and so on. And then we're going to connect the dots, and we're going to get a circle. Okay, so R is our 10 kilometers that we've walked, and C is the circumference. Okay, so the relationship between C and 2 pi r, is C greater than 2 pi r or less than 2 pi r? Less. Okay, so there's two ways to see this. Either you can say, I've walked this radial distance out like this, and I find that my circumference is less than I expected. Or you start on this circumference, you walk around that circumference, and you say, yeah, it's 100 kilometers around that circumference. I would expect, if space were flat, that I could get to the center by moving a certain distance, by walking a certain distance. But you would find, because of the curvature of the space, that you actually have to walk farther than you expected. Okay? You might have expected to only walk that distance, but because of this hump here, you have to cover more space. Okay, so this is called positive curvature, the space of positive curvature. Is that the kind of curvature that we have here? So here we have a situation where the circumference in the co-rotating space, we had the circumference was bigger than we expected at a given radius. Here we've got circumference less, so it's the opposite. So the other kind of geometry has a negative curvature. Okay, it's the surface of a saddle. So along the top here, it bends this way, and along the sides, it bends that way. Okay. So now I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pick a point. I'm going to walk some distance r along this surface, put a little flag in the ground, walk some distance r, and so on and so forth. Okay, and then I connect the dots, and the kind of circle that I get comes up like this and looks like that. Okay, now in this circle, the relationship between C and 2 pi r is what? C is bigger or less than? It's bigger, because if you look at this picture here, what we've got is, let's start down over here. Okay, to walk around this circumference here, I have to go over this big hump here, and then back down into that valley, and then over that big hump, and then back down into that valley. Okay, so I'm covering a lot more circumference for a given radius. Okay, so this is called negative curvature. Okay, so we conclude that the kind of geometry, well, I guess we can't conclude that exactly, but the fact is that the kind of geometry inside is negative curvature. So the geometry that our bobs on this surface measure is negative curvature. Okay. So the whole point, remember, of all this is these bobs are experiencing an artificial gravitational field. And associated with that artificial gravitational field is some weird effects on the geometry. Okay? So maybe a real gravitational field also has similar effects. And the answer, and the fact is that is true. Let me just show you. I'm just going to pop this up here. Hello, wake up. Okay, I want you to get a sense of how these gaps come about, because now we have we've talked about special relativity sufficiently. We talked about relativity of simultaneity and so on, that I could actually draw a picture which might make some sense to you. Okay, so here's what the picture looks like of the bobs inside that space station. And maybe let me just preface this picture with okay, so here we've got some bobs who are rotating around like this. So in terms of a space-time diagram, we drew this picture here a little bit before. So here's a given bob, which starts at this location. But as time goes on, Bob is rotating around. Okay, and so the shape of his world line is a spiral up like that. And the shape of the neighboring Bob's world line is also a spiral up like that, beside that one, and so on. So we've got a bunch of spirals going up like that, all along a cylinder like this. Okay. So what we're doing here is we're saying, well, this kind of picture is hard to draw. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that cylinder. This is time. And we're going to take that cylinder and we're going to cut it like this. And then we're going to open it up. Okay, and if we do that, what we're going to have is a picture that looks something like this. We're going to have, this is the distance around a circumference from the outside, from Alice's perspective. Okay, so here's the space station. Here are the Alices out here. And here is a circumference around. And there are bobs in that circumference. Okay? And so what Alice sees is these, as time goes on, she sees these bobs moving to the right. Okay, and so she sees this. And so, and the bobs themselves, what are the bobs? Okay, sorry, let me back up. What are the Alices? So we had Alices outside here who were all 1 meter in length. Okay, so here are the Alices outside here. They're all exactly 1 meter in length, all shoulder to shoulder. Okay, and the bobs, when they're at rest, they're also 1 meter in length. Okay, but now the bobs, when they're moving, we know that the bobs themselves will be tilted in time relative to the Alices. Okay, so the bobs' x-axis looks like this. The bobs themselves look like this relative to the Alices. Remember, this is Bob's time axis. This is Bob's space axis. Bob is on his space axis. His space axis goes from shoulder to shoulder, goes through his shoulders. Okay. And so that's Bob's space axis, and that's Bob. Okay, so in this picture here, let's turn on the light here. Let's see if that comes on. Okay. Yeah. So just roughly, I'm not going to go through the details of this. I'm just going to just show you a couple of things about this. So these are, this is one Alice next to another Alice and so on. And this is Bob's left shoulder, the world line of his left shoulder. This is the world line of Bob's right shoulder, just like that. And Bob himself, from shoulder to shoulder, is tilted in time relative to Alice. Okay? So this distance here is 1 meter. Okay? Now the distance, the width of the bobs as seen by the Alices, well, what is that? That's less than 1 meter. The width of the bobs as seen by the Alices is this. This is Bob's left shoulder. This is Bob's right shoulder. When Alice reaches in and touches both shoulders simultaneously, she's touching the right shoulder and the left shoulder simultaneously. Okay? And what she finds is his left shoulder might be aligned with her left shoulder, but his right shoulder is here, which is a little bit less distance than her right shoulder. Okay? So she finds that the gap between the bobs, as seen from the outside, is this little distance over here. Okay? And if you work it out, this example is worked out for half the speed of light. If the tangential speed is half the speed of light, then we see this gap here. And if you work out the contraction factor, the gap, the width of the bobs should be root 3 over 2, which is about 0.86, 0.87 compared to 1. So this is how wide Alice sees the bob to be, and this is how wide she sees herself to be. And this is the gap, then. This distance minus this distance is 1 minus root 3 over 2. That's the gap she sees between the bob's shoulders from the outside. What about the gap that the bob sees inside? So Bob here, he's 1 meter long. The gap that he sees, this is his right shoulder, and this is the neighboring Bob's left shoulder. This is Bob's x-axis here. That distance is the gap that he sees. And you can work it out. I don't want to get into details. You can work it out. It's basically this gap distance here, 1 minus root 3 over 2, divided by root 3 over 2, so that the total distance from here to here, length contracted, produces 1 meter. Okay, so I'll make a copy of this thing, and you can stare at it and try to make sense of it, all right? It's a great exercise. But anyways, I just want to show you that you really can do this. This is really true, okay? There's all kinds of fascinating things associated with this. More about time and so on. The bobs inside cannot synchronize their clocks, and it's a really fascinating situation. Anyways, so at the end of the day, Let me just say a couple words about the a couple final words about the geometry. And then talk a little bit about similar effects in a real gravitational field produced by masses. Okay, so the kind of geometry, just very, very quickly here, on a flat surface, some of the angles inside of a triangle is 180. If I draw a triangle on the surface of a sphere, some of the interior angles is what, bigger or less than 180? Bigger than 180. If I draw a triangle on the surface of a saddle like this, my triangle will look like that. Okay, so these are straight lines. Okay, this is if I walk on the surface of this triangle, shuffling my feet parallel to each other like this, I will walk along a line like this. If I start in that direction, I will end up going over there. If I start in that direction, I'll end up going over there. The sum of such triangles made up of straight lines, sum of the interior angles, is now less than 180. This is the kind of geometry we have inside that the bobs experience, the co-rotating bobs experience. Okay, and so in other words, they would draw triangles that look like this for Alice's. Alice is looking down, taking a snapshot of the triangles that Bob have drawn. The triangles would look like this. Okay? That sort of thing. But for Bob, these triangles, these are all straight lines. Okay, let me just talk a little bit about straight lines. So this is a fact which I will try to motivate. If the outside edge of the disk that the bobs are measuring their geometry on is moving at the speed of light, then straight lines, according to Bob, in other words, lines of the shortest distance between any two points, look like this. They are all of the form of circles that intersect the outside edge at right angles. So pick any circle, both of whose intersection points intersect at right angles. That's a straight line for Bob. Okay, so here's another straight line for Bob. That's a straight line. Okay, and here's another straight line. Okay, so if the bobs, the co-rotating bobs inside this rotating platform, one is standing over here at that edge and one is standing at that edge, and they want to connect themselves with a string. So they got a string connecting each other and they pull tight. Okay, so they minimize the distance between each other. That string would occupy this, these points. Okay, when Alice looks down, she would say, oh yeah, that's a curved string. Bob would say, no, that's straight. Okay, so their geometry is warped like that. So you can get an intuitive feel as to why that's the case, because you might be thinking, well, no. That's a straight line. This is the shortest distance between that point and that point. But not for the co-rotating bobs, because remember, for the co-rotating bobs, what used to be a 100-meter jog around the outside is now 10 kilometers. Okay, so their space inside is warped, okay, is larger. Okay. But that effect, and that effect grows as you go further out. So the effect is most extreme over here, and it gets less extreme over here. Okay, near the center, it's rotating very, very slowly, and the space is basically flat. Okay, it gets extremely warped near the edges. So basically what we're saying is, if you take this path, if you draw this path over here looks like it's shorter, but in fact, it's passing through a region of space which is significantly more warped than this region of space. There's a lot more. There's like maybe 20 kilometers from there to there. There's maybe only 10 meters from there to there. It gets rapidly more warped this way. So to get to the shortest distance from there to there may very well be this path here, because so although you're it looks like it's curved, you're moving through a region of space that's less warped. Okay, and so this is in fact, this is shorter than that. Okay, and so this is, in fact, the straight line for the bobs inside that. That's the kind of geometry that they have. Okay, and there are similar effects for real gravitational fields, completely analogous effects. Okay, and so here's a simple example. And Michael will be talking a lot, will be drawing pictures like this, I'm sure, when he's talking about black holes. So we have a geometry like this.
So what is that geometry? You all have seen a picture like this, right? What does that picture mean? Well, it means if I have a sphere like this, if I have a star like this, and I'm interested in the geometry of the space that slices through the equator. Okay, so there's a slice of space passing through the equator, and I'm sitting in this space and I'm making measurements. I'm drawing triangles, I'm sending light signals from there to there, I'm looking at angles, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? That geometry, it turns out, is such that if you were to draw a circle, if you were to walk around in a big circle like this and say, oh yeah, that's 10,000 kilometers around that particular circumference. Given that this is 10,000 kilometers, I might expect that if I move radially inwards, there's some distance involved. If it's a flat surface, I could guess what that is. But what you will find is that the distance that you have to walk radially inwards is more than you expect. There's simply more space on that surface than you expect. And so the way that's drawn is, the way you represent that idea is, you say, here's my circumference over here, okay, it's a million kilometers or whatever. To get to the center, it's not like on a flat surface where the distance is this. Somehow I need to represent that I need to walk further. And the way you do that is you just bend the surface down like this. Okay, so walking towards the center is just sort of abstractly represented as going down this hill here, going down into this valley. And so you have to cover more distance. Okay? So that's what these diagrams mean. It's important that this diagram doesn't have to be drawn, that hump doesn't have to be drawn going down. That hump could equally well be just drawn as a hill like that. The idea is that you go around a circumference, and to walk toward the center, you have to go further than you expect. And so you just abstractly represent it as a hill like that. Okay? And that's precisely the kind of geometry that the sun has. Okay? I guess a couple of years ago, the Cassini mission to Saturn provided a very, very precise measurement of that. There were other measurements before, but this was really precise. So they had the Cassini over here, spacecraft, the Earth over here, sending a light signal past the sun like this. And that light signal, the delay from here to here was longer than expected. If the space were flat, there would be a certain delay. The delay was longer, and the delay was longer because here's Cassini, here's Earth. Okay, that light signal has to go not just the ordinary distance, but it has to cover a greater distance, go down into this valley and then back out again. Had to cover a greater distance, took more time. And the measurements exactly agreed with what general relativity predicts about the warping of space. So anyways, at the end of the day, the lesson here is that in special relativity, by considering accelerated observers, in this case, people experiencing centripetal or center-directed acceleration, Einstein was able to get a hint that maybe real gravity has something to do with warping of space and time. Okay? And then, of course, he took those ideas much further and provided a full mathematical formulation, and you get general relativity. Let me just emphasize that in this entire picture, there is no space-time is not warped. It's all flat space-time. Okay, it's just Bob accelerated in flat space-time, but space becomes warped, okay, and time itself becomes warped, but space-time is still flat. To get real gravitational fields, you want space-time to curve, and that's what Michael is going to be talking about. Okay, so that's it. Take a break.